We're going to start at the bottom of page 193, 194. In the Hebrew, it's the next last word, line, last word. Aval in the English, it is the next to last line. But, okay, we have been talking about, leading into segue, the idea of coming from having to have kavana. And he's talked before about the differences between tzaddikim versus angels. That was at the beginning of the chapter. And where our mitzvahs go to, and then the differences in the... if they enter the actual sphere itself, as opposed to we who do it, we hang out on the outside in the heichalos. So now he started the reward of the mitzvah is the reward itself, is where we let off. We're sort of like in the middle of a thought over here when we left off last time. And that this is our service, it's called a service to Hashem. If a person at least has a fear and love which is naturally within us, as he spoke about way back in chapter 18, then it says that our service rises up at least to the world of Yetzir, the world of formation. So he says, now Aval Aveda Belihi Saras Achila Verachimo Afila B'maychei. But if a person doesn't have any type of fear and love at all, not even he's sensing an intellectual need for a love and fear, but he is giloy in a revealed way, that he knows he's doing it because he loves Hashem and is respecting Hashem. That means to say that he would have spent at least a monarchum of time where he is revealing the natural love which is hidden in his heart, and to bring it into a revealed state, at least to be conscious of it. At least he should be aware of it.
So
that love and fear, however, remains hidden like the day he was born. And it was as though it was before he got involved with this Torah, davening, learning, etc. So this person basically hasn't engaged in what we refer to as avoda. How do we translate the word avoda? Very simply, work. Work means effort.
Effort to accomplish something.
Yes. So this person hasn't engaged in avoda. He's not working. Okay? And it's not to say like it's coming natural, it's coming easy. This person fits in the category, you know, one of the 12 pesukim. Have you learned the 12 pesukim with your kids by heart? Reviewing them over and over and over again. That's how most adults know them, is you have to review them with your kid.
Yes.
So you have the pesuk, yigaiti v'lo matzasi el tami. A person says, I tried and I succeeded, don't believe him.
Right.
A person said, I succeeded but I didn't try, don't believe him.
Right.
A person says, I tried and I succeeded, and then you can believe him.
Right.
But there's one thing in that part, the next part of the verse, which doesn't need to be said because it's just so obvious, is if a person says, I didn't try and I didn't succeed,
you can also believe
that person too.
Yeah.
Okay, so this person is not trying and they're not succeeding.
And they're not succeeding well.
That's not called Aveda. And then what happens, because he's not engaged in Aveda, Hari Aveda Zun and Sharas Lamata Ba'ulam Apirid. So then what happens to the effect of his mitzvahs and his learning and his davening? It stays down here in what he refers to as the world of separation, since it is that this world comes into existence through a creation process, and then through the various mazoilos and the 70 sarim, the 70 princes, which are the exact source of the 70 nations of the world, which is the source of klippa in this world, coming through the Markava, as it says in the prophecies of Yechezkel, with the whirlwind and the storm cloud, and etc., the pillar of fire. So what happens then is this world appears to us to be separate from Hashem. And indeed, the truth is, as he's going to talk about later on, there is indeed, if something thinks that it's separate from Hashem, guess what?
It is.
It's separate from Hashem.
Ouch.
Even though it's impossible to be separate from Hashem.
Right.
But separation and unity is a state of mind. And since this person has no, and the Alter Rebbe doesn't pull any punches, if a person doesn't put himself in a state of unity,
He is not.
He is putting himself in a state of separation.
Right.
There's no in between. It's not sort of like I was just kind of like chilling and hanging back.
Right.
Yeah. So no, there's no intermediate. Either you is or you ain't. Yeah. So the person is, if he's unified, united with Hashem, then he's done something to do that. But if he's not doing anything, he's just going through it, then he is, his Torah and his service remains separated down here. It does not, is not elevated.
Right.
That this world is called Chetzenius HaElamais. This is the external expression of the world. This world is nothing lower than this. And since it is that this mitzvah and the davening and the learning that this person is doing is involving some sort of a physical object and physical action.
Right.
So it has to need, it needs something to propel it out of the three dimensions. As we said, and he's going to say later on in chapter 40, that fear and love are called wings.
Yeah.
And this person who's not engaged in some sort of as a monarchum of fear and love, so he's got nothing to propel it. There's nothing that's going to be able to carry it up.
Right.
And there it has no power to rise into and be incorporated in his unity. Shehein Eser Spheres HaKedushas, that they are the 10 spheres of Kedusha. And it doesn't matter, even if a person has a very simple, rudimentary understanding of godliness, he understands there's something called Hashem. And that's basically the extent of it. And he's doing it because, you know, Hashem told me I should do this. And if my father would tell me to do it, I would do it for sure out of respect for my father. So Hashem has told me to do this. I'm doing this as, out of respect for Hashem. That's very baseline. So his whatever he's doing has now elevated from the physical world out of the realm of separation. And he at least has united himself and his action in the spiritual 10 spheres of Asiya, the world of action. But, as he said before, that in chapter 6 and again in chapter 18, that within the 10 spheres of Asiya, of the spiritual world of action, you have the 10 spheres of formation. And inside the 10 spheres of formation, you have the 10 spheres of creation. And inside the 10 spheres of creation, you have the 10 spheres of Atzilus. And inside of Atzilus, you have Atzmusa and Mahusa, you have the essence and being of Hashem. So it comes out that as soon as this person puts Hashem into the equation as to why it is, which he's doing this, and this is his impetus for doing it, so then, even though it might be such a basic thing, I'm just doing it because God said so, so bingo. Incorporation.
The whole world. Yeah, the whole thing.
Okay, it's elevated out of the world of separation and has now been elevated into the realm of unity, even though we talk about four worlds. And in Be'emes, there's an infinite number of worlds. But in Kedusha, when you're talking holiness, there's only one level. Either it's Kaddish or it's not. Now, how could you say, wait a minute, you know, we have different levels of Kedusha. The Rambam in Hilchos Zeroyim, somewhere over there, talks about the 10 levels of Kedusha. I'm not sure where it is in Rambam, but he talks about the 10 levels of Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and or some you have outside Eretz Yisrael, you have in Israel, you have in proximity to Yerushalayim, you have within the walls of Yerushalayim, you have by the Harabayas, on the Harabayas, the Ezras Nashon, the Ezras Yisrael, the Duchan, the area around the Mizbeach, the area by the steps of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh, the Kodesh HaKedoshim. So each one of these is a higher level of Kedusha, and fewer people can go into each one, for example, they have different restrictions and regulations. So it sounds like there are levels of holiness. But it's called Rishus HaYachid. The Alter Rebbe uses this term and it's taken borrowed from the Kabbalah. It's called the private domain. Rishus meaning the domain or the area. Yachid of the individual. Or Yachid means united.
Right, okay.
Where everything's united. Okay, so you got different levels. Good, no?
Okay.
So Mach Neshois. It once it has nullified its existence somehow, too, the holiness of Hashem, it becomes incorporated in Hashem.
Right.
Unlike Lahavdil, you're going to talk about Klippa. So Klippa, you're right, there's different levels. Because there's something definitely much more wrong with a person who talks in shul as, say, a chainsaw massacrist.
Hmm.
Okay, they're both wrong.
Hmm.
And they're both in violation of a commandment. And therefore, they're both in opposition to Hashem's will.
Hmm.
But we see there's a big difference in the Torah itself says. This person, what does he have to do? The person talks in shul. What is he supposed to do? The Alter Rebbe says that he's supposed to sit on the floor and he's supposed to beg forgiveness from three people so they shouldn't put him in excommunication for talking in shul. Okay, and a chainsaw massacrist has to have get thrown off a building on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a little different over there.
Slightly different.
So we can say that that even though it may seem that what has he accomplished? He's just, we'll call this guy a yoikel. You know, just a regular, everyday, Joe-Jew.
Right, right.
And yet, if he's only doing it simply because, my father would tell me I would do it, so Hashem told me, of course I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So he's now entered the realm of holiness and is united and incorporated in the attributes of Hashem's unity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And when you grab onto a little bit of Hashem, what do you grab onto? A little bit of infinity
the entire thing. Right, right, right.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So there's no such thing as grabbing onto a little bit of godliness.
Yeah, right, right.
Once a person grabs onto godliness, they have grabbed onto Hashem's entirety.
Yeah.
Because there's no beginning, no end.
Right. There's no.
So this person then is it's fine. Can you do better? Okay, you can do better. But he's at least in the game.
Oh, I should do that well.
It doesn't take much. I mean, all it takes is just a little bit of concentration.
Yeah.
So there was there's a letter which is discussed in Malkuti Deburim from the Friedrich Rebbe about a letter which was sent from the Rebbe Rashab to his, third cousin, whose name was Shner Zalman Slonim, who lived in Eretz Yisrael at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks to him, and he says and mentions the whole that they were actually they had been chavrusa for a while when they were younger, and they kept up a correspondence. And one of the letters that the Rebbe Rashab writes to them, he said that it would be he gives them a whole seder of how to approach davening, and he said that if a person would think Hasidus before for 5 minutes before he davened, the entire davening, not only would it be that the entire davening would go different, but his entire day would go different.
What is it,
and this is later incorporated in other Kuntres Aveda, Kuntres Hatzvili, you have other times where it mentions these type of things, what a person should be doing and how to daven. So what does it take then to, what kind of effort are we talking about? We're not talking
monumental.
We're talking 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Okay, it doesn't cost a whole lot, 5 minutes. And it's could be like the hardest thing a person does, because if a person's only got so much time in the morning and he's saying, 5 minutes, and the minion's davening away, and 5 minutes, but we don't know how precious those 5 minutes are.
Hmm. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Ay, ay, ay.
So. The Ava Kerala also called the Ashmajan of the Kadushi, but she hang as her spheres of Kadushi. Commercial because of it, the Kohen, the Belay, the Hill of Rahim, Allah, Parhala, Ela, Loy, Yichla, La Salka, La Makim, Kadam Hashem. As it says in the Kohen, that without fear and love,
it cannot
rise above, and it is not able to present itself before Hashem. We're not talking over here about somebody who's involved with doing it for some sort of gain. He's doing it shelo lishma.
Right, right, right.
He's doing it for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
He's doing it because that's the way he was taught.
Yeah.
He's doing it by rote.
Okay.
A Jew is supposed to put on tefillin every morning. So, okay, good. So he puts on tefillin every morning. He doesn't know any better.
Right.
To him, he's been doing it so long.
Right.
So I was very impressed when I was first became from. My first week in Morristown. And I was learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch with a teacher. They had a teacher there, a Bacher. And he mentioned that he physically could not put on his left sleeve first. He puts on his right sleeve first, he puts on his left sleeve second.
Right.
Why? Because since the time he was 2 years old, that's the way he was dressed, and that's the way he is dressed. And so now, so why does he put on his right sleeve first and the second way? Because it says so in Shulchan Aruch? Not even.
No.
He does it because that's the way he was taught.
Right.
So this person over here, he's putting on tefillin. Why is he putting on tefillin? Because you're a Jew at 13 years old, he doesn't know any better. You wake up in the morning, you put on tefillin.
Yeah.
Okay? Is there anything wrong with that?
It's not wrong.
It's not wrong.
It's just not.
Could it be? It could be done better, yes. Is it a mitzvah? Yes.
Absolutely.
Pirsh machmas hergel shuhurgel bekatnoso. That means because of this custom that he's done, he's accustomed, frequented it so much, but he's done it by his, from his youth. It's become so remote. That he was taught by his father and by his teachers to fear Hashem and to serve him. So he's not doing it shelo lishma, but he's not doing it lishma either. Lishma means for the sake of Hashem. And there is a discussion, what does that mean? How much does a person have to not look for some sort of ulterior motive in his doing? Like, for example, if a person says, you know, if you do mitzvahs, then you get a good piece of Olam Haba, so I'm going to do mitzvahs, guess what? That's not lishma.
Right.
Because what is he doing the mitzvahs for? He's doing it for the piece of action that he's going to get at the end of the deal. Okay, so a person has to be doing it totally for no, not even thinking that there's any gain in for himself.
Yeah.
Not because it makes him feel good.
Right.
Not because whatever, it's a geschmack thing to do.
Yeah.
It's done because it has to get done.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing. I remember having a discussion with Rama Lipsker about it.
Mm-hmm.
And back in chapter 5, in a parenthesis, the Alter Rebbe defines Lashma according to what it says in the Zohar.
Okay.
And he says over there, Kidei li yachti nishmasa im HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to unite his soul with Hashem.
Mm.
That's called Lashma. So I asked him, well, wait a minute.
Isn't that a motive?
That sounds like an ulterior motive to me. If I do this, then what happens is, so then I get to be united with Hashem.
Right, yeah.
So his answer was, brilliant, but you have to think about it. A person can't say, I'm doing this so I don't exist.
True.
Which is what the whole idea is. I mean, I'm doing this to become batel. Because you can't say, I am batel, but this person is doing it to become nullified to Hashem.
The minute you say, I am.
Right, so this person is doing it not so that he can say, I am. This person is doing it so he loses himself.
Right.
So what is there anything in losing yourself? There's no ulterior motive in losing yourself.
Right.
Gee, I feel so good, I lost myself. Wait a minute. You haven't lost yourself yet. If this person has truly lost themselves, then they have no feeling of ulterior motive.
Yeah.
So it works. What does it mean, to do it lishma? Lishma means for the sake of Hashem. I'm doing this mitzvah because the mitzvah needs to get done. There are only so many mitzvahs that need to be done. And there's only so many people in the world who can do them.
And there's only so much time.
And I happen to be one of those people at this present time who's able to do that, so then I have to do it.
So it's here to be done. Yeah.
That would be the simplest level of lishma.
Wow.
What does it take to think that? It takes 10 seconds.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. Okay? To get the person's mitzvahs elevated out of the world of Pirut and into the world of unity, 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Without fooling himself.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the problem with the Baal Shem Tov, the famous mice that we had that took away the Baal Shem Tov's Olam Haba, and he said, great, because now I know I can do mitzvahs without thinking with, well, if I'm going to get a reward for it or not.
Right.
So, I wish I could say on the tape, you know, look at lesson whatever, and the last time I said that story, but I've said that story already at least 4 or 5 times.
That's right.
So, the...
they all bear repeating.
Yes, okay, but I'm not going to. So, that means to say, at least to have this expression of a natural love and fear, because we... Why is because, since it is, this is a whole build-up, you know, whenever it was that the Alter Rebbe would get stuck on something... He would go back to the beginning of Tanya, and he would review the whole thing that he had written.
Right.
And when we got to the point where he was stuck, what he should say, now he could figure it out. Well, how do we continue now? Uh-huh. What's the continuum? Mm. You're right. We've broken it up. You can learn Tanya. You can learn as each individual chapter as a separate unit.
Right.
And then I've been telling you how we break up the Tanya. We have 1 through 17 and 18 through 25 and 26 through 34 and 34 through 40 and 40 through 53. Okay, each one of those being a section, you're talking about unit, talking about specific subjects.
Right.
Okay, but MS, you really can't get to chapter 53 without the first 52. There's still something that you could learn chapter 53, and you'll get a lot out of it.
But
you're going to get a whole different appreciation of it if you've done the first 52 chapters already beforehand. Okay, so he says way back in chapter 2, that our soul is a chelik elikaim emal. And it has, therefore, since it is a chelik elikaim emal and is broken up from 10 faculties, and these 10 faculties mirror the 10 faculties of Hashem, the 10 divine attributes, so we have this natural love within us to try and want to be incorporated in Hashem.
Yeah.
All we have to really basically do is kind of like get out of our own way.
Scrape it off a little.
That's all we have to do is just kind of like stand aside from ourselves.
Yes, that's right.
And let ourselves take over.
Yeah, yeah.
Would that be that those were what ourselves are? You know, we do say every morning, Elokai Neshama Shenasata Bi. He's talked about this before. The soul that you blew within me. There's me and there's my soul inside me. So I know, we know who I am.
Yeah.
Halavai, I should be my Neshama.
No, man.
To bring it out from the hidden recesses of the heart, way down deep in the subconscious, and to bring it to the forefront of conscious and to the deepest parts of the heart, at least. Very interesting. He gives a very interesting example over here. So you do a favor for somebody.
Right.
Okay. Or you run away from somebody.
Okay.
The only reason why you're going to do a favor for this person is because you have some sort of rapport with them. We're not going to say that this is your absolute best friend, and every time you see this person, you feel like jumping up and down. That doesn't necessarily have to be.
Right, okay.
But just the fact that you have a rapport and a respect for this person, you're going to say, you know, okay, you want me to do something, I'll do something for you.
Right.
Okay?
Correct.
And if you know that this person is going to come and beat you up, then you're going to want to run away from them.
Yeah, you might avoid it, yes.
You would want to avoid him.
Yes.
Yes. So the person is only going to do, you're only going to do a favor from the guy. Or if he says, listen, do this for me, I'm going to beat you up.
Mm.
Okay, but we're not really into that so much. We don't believe that God's going to beat us up. But we have this reverence at least.
Yeah.
And so if it is with a human being that the only time you're going to do something for another person is if you have some sort of a
connection.
Rapport, a connection with the person.
Right.
So do we have a rapport, a connection with Hashem?
Of course.
Yes. What do we have to do? If you don't feel it, go feel it. So too also it's impossible to do something for the sake of Hashem in truth. It's interesting, he just puts the word in truth. Very often the Rebbe, Alter Rebbe, uses the expression be'emes lamitai, which means an absolute truth.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Here, since you're talking about doing it at least bottom line, so we're going to call that emes, but it's not emes lamitai, because everybody could do it better.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
At this point, he's not insisting that we do everything, that we serve Hashem lishma on an absolute level. That's not required of us.
No.
That's really hard.
Yeah.
But he's saying the emes that you happen to be on right now. Because remember, he said emes is briachatichon, is minakatsa alakatsa, that every level of emes, is truth. And on whatever level you happen to be on, that's the truth that you happen, the level of truth that you happen to be on.
Right.
And so if this person is only mustering 10 seconds before he does something, in order that he's cognizant that he's doing it for the sake of Hashem, as a person would be, I'm doing this for someone that I appreciate and someone that I have reverence for, in that same similar vein, so that's truth for them on their level.
Yeah.
But it's not emes lamitoy.
Right.
It's not absolute truth.
No.
Because absolute truth would mean full-fledged.
Right.
Burning, palpable love, which he's going to talk about later on.
Yeah. Right.
And that's not demanded of us. There are only certain select few people who can say, you know what, I have a wildly passionate affair with God.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's not demanded of us. But at least this would be on his level of truth.
Right. Right.
To fill his will, his being Hashem's will. Believes the carne sardis avas, if it would be impossible to fill Hashem's will if he didn't have some kind of a remembrance, at least, an arousal of Hashem's fear and love in his thought and in the recesses of his heart, at least. At least if not going to actually fear and love Hashem, at least to have a remembrance that he's supposed to.
Yeah, okay, fine. If just bring it to mind.
Right. V'gam aval avada in ikr b'shem avayda b'li yiratata libchais. L'pachis. And also, just having love doesn't make it fly either. A person has to have at least some sort of at least entry level of fear.
Huh.
Later on in the note in chapter 40, so he says that fear and love are like wings of a bird. And if your bird only has one wing, it doesn't, it flies.
It makes in a great circles.
Circles straight down, yes. That's right. That's an old trick about how to keep your parakeet from flying away is you just clip the wings on one side.
Right.
Okay. So at least he has to have some little bit of fear, which is hidden in the heart of every single Jew by nature. K'moshe kasul l'kamen, as is will be explained in the next chapter. U'kisha oisek shelo l'shma mamish. But, however, when a person does something with an ulterior motive, l'shum eizid peniel, l'chavad atzme, for his own glory.
Yeah.
Whatever it happens to be, it could be very noble too.
Mm.
Okay, kigai liyeis talmud chacham akiyai gavna. Like he wants to be, everybody should know he's a talmud chacham.
Yeah.
Now, is it a good thing to be a talmud chacham?
Sure, of course it is.
Everybody should be a talmud chacham.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
If everybody was a talmud chacham, it would just raise the standards for talmud chachamim. It'd have to be that much better.
Right.
Okay, but it's a good thing to be a talmud chacham.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it an even interesting thing also? It's not considered, I remember doing this, it's not considered lishma. If, for example, you're learning Shulchan Aruch, how do I do this?
Interesting.
Because what are you doing? Is you're learning Shulchan Aruch in order that you should know how to do it.
You're learning.
You're getting something out of it that's for your own thing. Now, when is it that the learning is elevated into the next world? Is then when you go and you do it, lishma.
Okay,
so like just to learn theoretical stuff, to pick up a Gemara and talk about a cow and an ox, or to pick up some kind of a Tanya, we're talking about Sphirois and Beinonim, which are, you know, mythical creatures.
Yeah, really.
Okay, so you can learn that lishma.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Okay, I'm learning about it because it needs to get learned.
Right.
Okay, but if you're learning how to put on tefillin.
Yeah, it's harder.
Okay,
it's
so it seems really weird because, wait a minute, the only reason why I'm learning about this to put on tefillin is because Hashem wants me to put on tefillin.
Right.
But the learning is not called lishma. In order for it to be lishma, it would have to be, for example, a person knows how to put on tefillin.
Right.
And he goes back now and goes and learns the Shulchan Aruch again.
Mm.
Why is he learning it? He's not learning how to do it. He's learning it because he's learning Shulchan Aruch. It's a study. So you see, there's an interesting thing over here, a study just for study's sake.
Yeah.
Okay? Even though he says later on that if a person learns, one of my favorite lines in Gemara, If a person just learns academically without the idea of putting it into practical application, it would be better that his afterbirth fell over his face.
Right.
I don't know how many times I've said that in the various shiurim since we've been doing this.
Right.
But this person knows how to do it. And why is this person learning this? He's not learning it not to, to put it into practical practical application.
Right.
He's doing the practical application already. The only reason why he's learning it is because it's next. And it's something that he has to learn. Yeah. So now that he's learning it, and he's learning it because it has to get learned.
Right.
So that's lishma, even if it's a practical thing.
I hear. Yeah.
Okay. So what do you do now? All those practical things that you don't know how to do, learn it twice.
Yeah, learn it twice. Yeah. Yeah. Or 10 times.
101, as he said before.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's actually interesting that he brings up this for look, he could have just stopped and said. He's doing it for some ulterior motive for his own glory. He could have stopped right there. And he could have just said, enough said.
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. But he says, he puts in those words. You remember the Alter Rebbe was very exact. Every letter in Tanya.
Yes.
That the only reason why he's learning is in order that he should become a Talmud Chacham. People should say, what a great guy he is.
Mm.
Okay? Yeah. This tells us, this is something that the Alter Rebbe and Chassidim afterwards, for till our present generation, what a dover mois, how disgusting it is when a person is learning Torah in order that people should recognize how great he is.
Yeah.
We consider it to be this person is loathsome.
Yes. That's all. Well.
Okay, and a person who's learning to become a Talmud Chacham, for the most part, never becomes a Talmud Chacham.
Right.
There are plenty of Talmidei Chachamim that even that they don't learn Chassidus. And how do they get to be Talmidei Chachamim? Is because they sat and they learned it. They weren't thinking about becoming Talmidei Chacham.
That's right.
Okay, but a person who's learning that everybody should say, you know what, I'm a Talmid Chacham. Okay.
Mm.
It's like the Myron Cohen joke, look, Mom, I'm a captain. You know that one? Yeah, to me, you're a captain. To you, you're a captain. But to a captain, you're no captain. Azai Oysa Paniya Shemitzat HaKlippas Denoigam Islabeshes B'Torah. Then what happens is, because he's putting his own self-aggrandizement into it, and as his own self-aggrandizement is a bad character trait, which where's the bad character trait coming from? I got news for you, it's not coming from his godly soul. So his impetus in learning is an expression of his animal soul, so that he gets to become a bigger animal.
Right.
So then what happens is the Torah that he's learning gets schlepped into Klippa.
Yeah.
What happens then is that his Torah now gets sunk into Klippa.
Yeah.
It's stuck there.
Yeah. Waiting for his tshuva, right?
Yeah, the only way he can deal with it now is he does the tshuva.
Since he did something wrong, he has to do tshuva. But if he does tshuva, it can elevate.
He's
going
to say on the very next page, nothing gets in the way of tshuva.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to somebody who just learned it because they took out a book and they're learning it, and it's just, I'll fill in some time over here, I'll go learn something. But he wasn't doing it lishma either.
Right, I hear.
So he says, what does he do with that? Those two things are going to be discussed on the next page.
Mm-hmm.
Lefisha ad asher yaseh tshuva shemeviya refula olam. That this Torah that he learned is stuck in Gullus until he does Teshuvah.
Hmm.
That Teshuvah brings a cure to the world. That Shebeshuvah al Hashem gam terasa shava imai. That when he does Teshuvah, so then his Torah comes with him.
Hmm.
We've talked about Teshuvah before, and Teshuvah is discussed at great length in the Geras Teshuvah, 12 chapters
worth. Okay.
So, but Teshuvah is such a tremendous gift that the Almighty gave into the world.
Yeah, for sure.
Where does it come from? You have to learn Chassidus. It's a Gemara someplace, I think. There are 10 things that preface the creation of the world.
Mm, yes.
Tshuva happened to have been one of them. What does it mean that it prefaced the creation of the world? The Hashem said, you know, I'm going to make a world. Mm. And I think we're going to need to put some tshuva over there. So I'm going to create the concept of tshuva now.
Yeah.
Before I get there.
Before we get there.
That's not necessary. Want some more?
No, I'm good.
So the tshuva, the level that tshuva has manifested itself on, precursors
right.
The creation process. Tshuva is higher than
creation.
Seder Hishtalshlut. Yes. It's higher than creation. So
yes.
Things that are going on in the world, they have to go through the process. Tshuva circumvents the process and connects the person
directly,
exactly. And in doing so, what does it do?
Wow.
It totally and completely, you can use the expression, whitewashes all of the inconsistencies and incompatibilities that this person has created by his mucking up the entire Seder Hishtalshlut, because that's what happens when a person does something wrong. Is the entire creation process is messed up.
Yeah.
And so what happens is the tshuva fills in all the dents and cracks and covers over all the spots
right. That
this person did while doing this misdeed. So now when he does teshuva, so there's nothing wrong anymore. So since there's nothing wrong, it's this Torah that this guy learned.
Right.
I'm sorry that I learned it in order to become a Talmud Chacham.
Mm-hmm.
So now even that teshuva that he's doing now, so that causes the Torah that he learned the wrong way to also be elevated. So then he puts an interesting twist on a Maimer Chazal.
Yeah, no.
That says, La'olam ya'asek adam shaloi lishma. A person should always learn Torah even for the wrong reason.
Mm.
The simple interpretation is that because of him learning for the wrong reason, he'll come to learn for the right reason. Which means to say, rather than tell the guy, don't learn at all, because what happens if the person doesn't learn at all? So he'll get rusty and he'll forget how to learn and he'll stop learning altogether.
Right.
If I can't learn Lishma, I'm not going to learn at all.
Right.
And then what's going to happen? He's never going to learn.
Right.
So the simple interpretation is we tell this person, learn for the wrong reason. Eventually, one day you'll wake up and you'll see and you'll come to learn for the right reason. But just be as if you're in, you know, if you're running a marathon and suddenly you realize that, you know, you might actually be able to win this thing if you just pick up the pace a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You'll pick up the pace, but if you're not in the race, you're not going to exert any effort to win.
Mm.
So that's what the deal is. Now the Alter Rebbe comes and puts a little kvetch on it just a little bit differently. Without even changing the meaning of the words, just how you sing it. Shemitei shelo lishma bo lishma, that from within the lo lishma, the improper reason, he'll come, it will come to the lishma. Not he will come, but it will come. It will come, meaning the Torah.
The Torah, yeah.
So that what happens is the person learns it for the wrong reason
right.
when he does tshuva. And now learns it for the right reason.
It all parades to the...
No, he doesn't have to learn for the right reason. That's later on. He does teshuva.
Right.
So then it comes together with him with the Torah that he did learn correctly.
Okay?
Because he says... The guy's going to do teshuva eventually.
Right.
And everybody puts a caveat on it. Either in this lifetime or some other incarnate.
Yeah.
So if the guy's going to continue being a yold and learn for the wrong reason, okay, God says, the guy was learning. The guy spent his whole entire life learning. That's a great thing. But there's one problem. He learned for the wrong reason, so everybody should pat him on the back. You know what?
Ouch.
We'll send him down again.
Yeah.
And he'll still have the Torah, because any good thing that you do carries over from one lifetime to the next.
Wow.
So he's got all that Torah carrying him over, and all he's got to do is just go over everything that he learned or do tshuva somehow and do it for the right reason, and all of that he's done in previous lifetimes is also elevated.
Right.
Ki la yidach memena nidach, because no one is ever pushed away.
Because no one is rejected. Yeah.
When a person, it says that Hashem says, even a person on their deathbed.
Yeah.
And they don't even know how to say vidui.
Right.
But all they say is, forgive me. That's all they say.
That's it.
Okay? Tshuva.
Yeah.
Full. Complete. Absolute.
Right.
Honest.
Right.
100%.
Yeah, no games.
Okay?
Yeah.
This guy, A+.
Yeah, absolutely.
He has no... It's total correction.
Yeah.
Because nothing, that's how great Teshuvah is.
Yeah.
Because, let's say, but all the guy did is 1 second of Teshuvah in his life.
Right.
It happened to be the last second of his life. But what did we say before? If you grab on just a little tiny piece of infinity,
it's all there.
You grab the whole infinity.
Yeah.
So with that little, I'm sorry, please forgive me, he grabbed onto the whole infiniteness of Hashem.
Right. It's incredible.
That's the incredible part of Teshuvah.
Incredible business.
Ah, I'll try this again. Ah, kishasha stam. When he does it plain. Lo lishma v'lo shelo lishma. He didn't do it for the wrong reason. He didn't do it for the right reason.
He just...
And ever told him a tshuva. So then, he doesn't have to do tshuva because he didn't do anything wrong. Elamiyat, this is generally true. He talks about this in the first paragraph of Shariyahud of Geras Tshuva. That if a person didn't do anything wrong, he doesn't have to correct it. Because most likely you can't correct it because you didn't do anything.
Ouch.
Right. So what should a person do?
Something.
He has to, for example, he says later on, if a person forgot to say Kriya Shema, for example, in time, so what should he do? He should feel sorry they didn't say Kriya Shema, and he should tell Hashem, I'm not moving until you forgive me. And it says Hashem will forgive him.
Yeah.
Okay, because he feels sorry that he did it. He feels that he accepts upon himself never to do it again, meaning never not to say Kriya Shema.
Right.
And so that will fill in the gap there also as well. Okay, but as soon as he goes back and he does the thing, Lishma, Harigam Shema Shalom, Bistam, Mischaber, Mistarf, Lim, Mudzel, Parhala, Ela. So then, if he just learned it plain, that, as you're going to say, because it didn't enclose itself into the klippa, and it's just kind of like flying around aimlessly, so now when he goes back and he learns it for the right reason, he now can grab a handle on it and elevate that too.
Right.
Because it's not stuck within the realm of klippa, as he says. Because it has not enclosed itself at all in any part of Klippas Noga. It has no attachment whatsoever to the forces of evil. It's just not flying anywhere because it has no attachment really to Kedusha either.
Kind of
Lembo.
Stuck.
That's why a person should always occupy Yidin Torah for the wrong reason, because it's the right reason will elevate it back up.
Right.
We can't even read tefillah shalom b'kavanah, which goes with bizarre. And sometimes the thing also with tefillah davening, if a person davening without kavanah. Yeah. If a person's davening, that everybody should look at me, what a great davener I am. Avraham Lipsky used to tell the story of some Goyen, some Misnagdash Goyen, who was put himself that he absolutely, totally removed himself from the world when he davened. So one guy hears, you know, that he sees this guy, he's davening over there, and someone, he asks one of the congregants, what's this guy? He says, The rabbi davens berichas. He's a, you know, he really, really davens. Okay? And he says, really? He says, if you go over and you pinch him, he won't even feel it. He said, Azoy. So what did he do? Chutzpanya. He went over and he gave the guy a good pinch. Guy didn't move. He said, wow, that's pretty amazing. Maybe I just didn't grab. Maybe I pinched his clothes or something like that.
There you go.
So he gives the guy another pinch. This time he gives a good. Okay.
Raised up a welt.
Nothing. Says, "Wow, I must be doing something wrong." Now the guy gives him a real good fetch, and the guy goes, "Ow!" He says, "Wait a minute. I thought you didn't feel stuff when you were davening." He said, "Yeah, I didn't feel it the first two times."
I didn't feel it the first two times. Wow.
Anyway, so if a person's, it's a weird thing. A person could daven for the wrong reason. And again, it's this whole idea of self-aggrandizement.
Right.
You know, my Nefesh Bahamas has taken over my davening. It has pirated my davening.
Yes,
so that I daven at great length and I do all kinds of motions. And
all kinds of theatrics.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. There's a very short, it's like a one-liner in Kuntres HaTfila.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Kuntres HaTfila? It's available in English. I believe it's called The Tract on Prayer by the Rebbe Rashab.
Okay.
Okay, it's in English. I might have it on the shelf.
Okay.
It's a guide how to daven. Hmm. So one of the things he says over there is, stop with the shuckling. The hand motions with the walking back and forth.
Yeah.
It says, if you're extending energy to do all this moving around, that's the energy you're not putting into your davening.
Yeah, yeah.
So you see these people over there, they go, oh, Rabbi Shalom, and they're moving, they're shuckling like a pendulum, you know, on a metronome on high, with the thing all the way down at the bottom over there, and with the hand motions, and with, you know, they put on a good show.
Right.
So, unfortunately, their Nefesh HaBahamas has hijacked their davening.
Yeah.
But not everybody has the opportunity to daven. Not only does everybody not have the opportunity, not everybody has the capability of davening a whole davening with kavana.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it talks in Shulchan Aruch, the first two lines of Shema, and if you could really muster up the first paragraph, and the first three brachos of Shema Yisrael.
Yeah, and you're doing great, yeah.
Okay, and it says over there in Shulchan Aruch that if you didn't realize you didn't say Shema and Baruch Shem Elish for the right with kavana, so go back and say it with kavana. But what happens if you didn't say the first three brachas,
right,
without, you just got to, you said, about to start Atachain, and you said, you know, I didn't say the first three brachas with kavana. This is Vayter. Who says you're going to say the first three brachas if you repeat them again with kavana?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's too long already. You'll already go back into your ADD mode over there and think about everything you shouldn't be thinking about.
Right.
Okay? So not everybody has the capabilities. Not everybody has the time.
Yeah.
So it says, what did the Alta Chassidim do?
Yeah.
Is everybody had their own Siddur.
Yeah.
And what would they do? They would daven one page, and they would knach the corner, they dog-ear the corner, so that they knew what they did last time. So they know the next page is the next page that I do b'kavana. So like this, what happens? So in the course of a davening, how many pages is a davening? 96 pages.
Something.
So in the course of every 3 months, person will have davened an entire davening b'kavana.
At least done one davening.
What does that do to all the other parts of the 96 davenings that he didn't daven b'kavana?
Lifts them up.
It lifts them up too.
Yeah.
Even if it is that it took him 96 tries to lift up 96 parts of the davening, look, so he got it. And how many davenings did he lift up? Not one.
All
he lifted up 96 davenings.
Yeah.
Because it didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
It's sort of like stuck in limbo because he's not doing it for an ulterior motive. He just doesn't have the time or the capabilities to do a whole davening with kavana.
Right.
So let him do a small piece. And when he does that small piece with kavana, so that will elevate all the other pieces that he didn't do, that he did just plain.
Yeah.
That's the advice that the...
I'm working on one word.
Good something, hey. Okay. To be continued.
Yeah, it's good.